Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Untangled, Unraveling the Lies Religion Tells Us About God and Ourselves. I'm Lauren Rosser, and you'll have to excuse the poor mic quality, having a little bit of audio trouble on my end. But I wanted to let you guys know a quick announcement. The video series that I told you guys I was going to be working on that was near completion is now complete. God Thoughts from the Man Cave is now available for you to watch on YouTube. So just go over to YouTube and type in God Thoughts from the Man Cave and you should be able to find it. And also, if you're on Facebook, you can go over to our page, Untangled, and like our page, and you can see the links to God Thoughts from the Man Cave on there, as well as see whenever we put up podcasts. And I'm back with David. Hey, David.
Hello.
I'm glad
Hello,
you
Mr.
could...
Hello, Mr. Texas.
Yes, Mr. Texas. You know, that is a name I never, ever thought I would be called.
Yeah, I know. That's why I got to tease you all the time. Well, I know. I never think I would be called Arkansas or Oklahoman either.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? All these places where, you know, you... If you were to list where you think you will live someday, you know, they don't even make the list. Not because they're bad places. It's just you just never saw yourself living there.
Yeah. No, just cultural contradictions, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's pretty funny. But I had a really good talk today with somebody who listens to this podcast, Richard Broadbent. And he's a Canadian listener.
Great.
So, but I have to reference it with this for those Texans who know about the what's it called, the Blue Jays playing the Rangers. Do not take offense that he's Canadian.
I had to admit I was kind of for Texas, not because of Canada, but because I just felt kind of sorry for him.
Exactly.
That's such a difficult time.
By the time this podcast goes, that game will be done and over. So either Texans or Canadians will be very happy. So
yeah,
and the other will be very sad.
Yeah, I have a good Canadian friend that wrote a fantastic article I was thinking about talking about, but we'll probably put that off for another day.
But yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I was just looking at it. I was just looking at it online, you know, and he was talking about the when we understand it wrong, and he was talking about the scripture.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of interesting thing we might be able to hit sometime.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Really excellent article. Anybody listening in probably enjoy going to iamsignificant.ca. iamsignificant.ca is his website. There's a lot of good stuff on there.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
He puts out really good stuff.
Yep.
And
Michael Rose is his name.
Yep. Yeah. Michael's awesome. And yep. So we know two Canadians now.
Yeah.
Because Richard and I had a good Skype conversation earlier, and you know, he brought up something in the phone call that was just really good. And he was talking about how Jesus was fully human. And the whole thing of how, you know, he was saying how he's learned to stop, he's left the whole religious scene. And since then, he and his wife, they stop using churchy talk and they've learned just to be real with people. And there's no longer an agenda, you know, when they connect with people. And he goes out and buys his cup of coffee, you know, and he's able to just talk to the Starbucks employer, you know, the coffee shop employee, just, you know, just person to person, you know.
Yeah.
And he was bringing up how, you know, he goes, I think that's the thing with Jesus, is that Jesus was fully human. And, you know, we talk about him being fully God, which is true, but the whole thing is he showed us kind of, when we say he was the perfect man, we get this like religious view of that we all put it on the God side. But he was really showing us what Adam was meant to be, fully human. Mm. And he was sharing how, you know, the whole thing of that's why the Pharisees would get so offended, because, you know, the whole thing of him, he would be called a friend of sinners. But it's not just about being with sinners. It's that he was able to fully embrace what it is to be human. And that's something that religious, you know, it puts things on us that are ill-fitting. And it basically forbids you, in its quest to be so righteous, it forbids you from being fully human. And I'm not talking about, you know, being fully human doesn't mean engaging in hurtful and sinful activities. But right. it means being, you can't even phrase, it's hard to come up, explain it. It means being fully human. It means being able to be, enjoy the things of being on this earth.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And if you didn't, you wouldn't be children of God. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other part. It's like there's a tendency to make a separation between human and God, you know, or human and Jesus Christ, I should say. And he was, you know, absolutely fully human. And the thing is, we are made in the image of God.
Yeah.
You know, we're in the image of God. And so so often I have conversations with people where they think, well, God is so other, you know, so other. And of course, he's other as far as his omni-ness, you know,
right,
and his perfection. But as far as other, you know, emotionally, the way he thinks and so forth, yeah, way above, but we're made in his image. And so that's why we can understand love. That's why he can tell us love. He can tell us to do these things that he actually is, even though we're so finite, or I mean infinite, you know, compared to finite. We're so finite compared to him, and yet, but he can say those things to us, and he can expect us to understand who he is, you know, because we're made in his image. And
yeah.
If we were not fully human, we would not be made in his image. Not that he's a human being in the flesh, but his character, his personality, everything about him relates to who we are as human beings made in his image.
Right. Yeah. And when I was talking to Richard, you know, I shared with him the story that you remember when I was in Sacramento, David, and you guys still may do this. Every summer, the folks were connected to through Family Room. They would have that camp out. You know, they'd go out like to the foothills of the Sierras, and Lily and I went one summer. I think that was the summer everybody got sick because some flu went around or something.
Yeah,
anyway, I thank God I didn't get it. I was so scared I was going to get it, and I didn't get it.
Yeah, I didn't.
But anyway, on that camp out, there was a couple who came up to join us, and you know, there was just this, you know, excitement of, okay, we're going to get super deep spiritually, you know, we're going to dive in all this deep spiritual stuff. And that weekend, you know, we're swimming, we're, you know, sitting in lawn chairs, just enjoying the cool weather and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And we weren't like getting quote unquote spiritual, you know?
Right.
And so, the man in this couple, the husband, he got really frustrated.
Yeah,
and he shared with our friend Robert. He goes, he goes. You know, when I'm expecting to get into the things of God, when are we gonna dive into the deep things of God? And Robert goes, you know, we've done that for so many years and so long, and he goes, but we've never been allowed to just be human. And he goes, and that's what God is teaching us, is what it is to be human.
Yeah.
And that always stuck with me, because I was like, I thought that was just pure brilliance on Robert's part, because I went, that's exactly it, is religion so long trained us to be super spiritual and be these, like, fit in these weird contortions.
Yeah.
That we didn't even know how to be human. And how can you relate to your friends and neighbors and just live in this world on your job and stuff, if you don't even know how to be human, if you can't just be free to have a regular conversation with somebody, or to just swim in a lake, or, you know, watch a football game without all this you must be spiritual. And people who are even in that mindset are going, oh, you're talking about lukewarm Christianity, you know? And it's like, that's the exact problem I'm talking about, is you can be fully in love with Jesus and have a heart that's so in love with him and in love with the people around you, and very much engage in the things, you know, it sounds like the things of this world, evil, but in the things of this earth and the things that people do.
Absolutely. And the whole thing, and that's, I guess that's why I said before, you know, of course, it's just off the cuff because we didn't talk about this before the podcast. But I mean, the reason I said the whole thing about being made in God's image is because it is human. In other words, what he's saying, what that guy was saying, I remember that too. It's like about the things of God. Well, we were in the things of God. That's the whole point. Being human is part of that. It doesn't even matter whether you know him or not. You know, a big part of your personality, the way you're made and the way you think, is because of who you are, who God created you to be. And so there is no such thing as the spiritual versus the human. That's the important thing to realize in all that. It's not just a matter of, well, we're free to be human. We had better be human if we're actually who God created us to be. I mean, wow. Otherwise, we're not being spiritual. You know, when you're focusing just on what we call the things of God, then we're last things from spiritual. And that's what brings spiritual pride. That's what brings imbalance, all which is not like God at all, and which is not spiritually edifying, you know? And so basically the whole thing of separating things is just absolutely has nothing to do with spirituality. It's you know, it's like the Gnostics. The Gnostics, you know, they, you know, it's like the flesh, it was a bad thing. And so you had to stay, you know, you had to live in some other thing. It was just too bad that we're clothed in flesh, because that in itself was a negative to the Gnostics. And that was one of the people that tried to infiltrate, you know, one of the groups that tried to infiltrate Christianity. Because, of course, you know, there are Christians that had been Gnostics, that had been all kind of, you know, whatever, even up to the point of being Diana worshipers or whatever, you know.
Right.
Goddess worshipers and so forth. But Gnosticism was a great big deal. And what that does, you know, it sounds so spiritual, but it absolutely dismisses who God created us to be. And he created us to be completely human. And so we can't even, and that's one of the things that keeps us as Christians that are mistaught from being incarnational, which is what Jesus did. You know, I mean, he became a man in the flesh, you know, so that he could reach those who are in the flesh. And we live our life as Jesus did in the incarnation. And that whole thing is incarnational. It's if we're not human in the way you're talking about, and enjoying the things of earth, enjoying the swimming, enjoying this or that, relating on a level of our flesh and blood, then there is no way that others can join us in our relationship with Christ.
Exactly. And I think that's the poison, that one of the ways that is seen is, for example, with the elevation of like positions like pastors and stuff over other, you know, like careers or whatever, because it's viewed as, you know, going back to what we said on other podcasts, that thing of this is truly spiritual. And if you like take a regular job, you're a lesser Christian. And that completely annihilates the whole thing of what it is to be human. Because the whole thing is God creates us with talent, skills, and it doesn't have to be extraordinary talents. I'm just talking like there are people who, you know, are much better at swinging a hammer than others. You know, just simple things of life that people do and desires people have and that kind of thing. And then religion comes and says, no, that's subpar. Yeah. And if you're doing that thing, even if you're doing it, some guy comes in, oh, what do you do for a living? Oh, you know, I hang sheetrock. You know, it's like, oh, well, you know, welcome to our group, but, you know, this is the pastor, you know. And And it's the whole thing of like that's so backwards.
Yeah.
That it's like this guy is he's human. he's connecting with the people around him, and it's not even
have an agenda, so you must learn sheetrock. So you can, you know, it's
that he's human and you're allowed to be human. And I'll never forget when, you know, I had my eyes set on being a pastor years back and stuff and climbing that whole ladder. And then God directed me out of that, directed me to work in television. And since my youth, I was always tape recording, playing with video cameras, you know, doing that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm working in TV, and there's not a single person you can talk to in my high school and say, Lauren went and he now works for NBC. There's not a single person you would talk to who would be shocked. Right. Oh, what? I never saw that coming, you know? And yet it's funny how I go back to the church I grew up at, and this guy, and they, you know, they knew I was playing all interested in video and stuff back then, but I'd expressed interest to be a pastor or possibly a missionary or something like that. And I remember one of the guys who was a deacon at that church, and he says to me, he goes, so last time you were here, you were talking about becoming a missionary. Did that just not work out? And it was funny because at the time I just left the religious system, was still on that kind of fragile ground, you know, where you're sorting it all out. And it was like a knife that went into my heart because it was like, you're not truly spiritual. You have backslidden. Mm-hmm. When it's like, no, I'm embracing Christ because I'm embracing who he is in me.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly it. And I mean, you said in a nutshell, you're embracing who he is and who he is in you and what we were created to be. And anything else, it subtracts from that. And so it's amazing. I mean, if you have a skill, no matter what it is, and you're not walking in that, and don't misunderstand me, I mean, you know, there's many people who are multi-skilled, and so they've chosen to concentrate on one and so forth. But if you're not walking in that talent and that gift or that skill that God's given you, then how is the glory of God being seen through that, you know? And yet, as you say, so often it's been, well, unless this is spiritual, unless this is some way that we build up people in the spirit and the knowledge of the scripture, then this is less than.
Yeah.
And it absolutely is not. And, you know, most Christians understand that, well, you know, I mean, they'll believe it when they hear that, you know, to be a pastor or to be a missionary is no more spiritual than to be a carpenter, because you hear those things in their head.
Yeah.
But I've seldom seen it believed.
Right. Exactly.
I've seldom heard it really actually believed. And yet it absolutely is. In fact, if you were to be anything else, then if it's possible to be less spiritual, that would be it.
Well, yeah, because I mean, I see it on Facebook all the time where people be having these discussions and then somebody chimes in and it's like, oh, the pastor said that. And then you start seeing all the amens. Yes, right on, Pastor Joe. Yeah, amen. You know, and it's like, oh, come on, people. He's human, you know.
Right.
And it's like they all line up like little ducklings, you know.
Exactly.
And then I had one person. I was having this discussion. We're having a disagreement in the sense of, you know, over spiritual, the Bible and stuff. It wasn't like a personal argumentative disagreement, but you know, disagreement on scriptures and stuff. And but the guy I was talking to, he happens to be pastoring a church, and so he gave me, you know, he's throwing that firing off at me all these scriptures that I should go read. And
right.
Of course, they're scriptures I already know, you know. And so this person chimes in, though, and later on goes, Lauren, have you read all the scriptures that he sent you? Because, you know, he is a pastor. I'm like, oh, my gosh. It all flew out of my skin. It was like, you got to be kidding me. And so just like you said, David, yeah, we say, oh, you know, we are truly all equal in the body of Christ. We're all brothers and sisters. But you know what? Most people, when they're in that mindset, when they're in that mentality, we're not. We're really not. Because when the pastor says something, like you said, it's like it carries more weight and it's more spiritual than anybody, you know, than what anybody else says.
Exactly. And that's a really a belief, whether people want to recognize it or not. And that's a seriously destructive belief, you know. And again, like I said, it keeps you from being incarnational and reaching others for Christ, because you reach them through your humanity, you know. That's how you reach people. And so how can you identify?
Yeah.
You know, how can you come into their world? It's what keeps people, Christians, from being creative. You know, that's why movies and music and everything else, it's gotten better to a tiny degree, but have always been behind the world system. Always.
Right.
You know, because, well, that's not spiritual. And so the talents are used, you know, in a different direction. Well, what's happened? What's happened? God has not received the glory, you know, because, you know, we see that as something less. We see it as something human. It's not spiritual. It's as spiritual as you can get. Functioning in the talents and gifts that God has given you are as spiritual as you can get. And you don't have to put a Christian agenda on them either, on your creativity, whatever it is. You know, do what he's called you to do, and then you be the incarnation of Christ, you as a person, and
exactly.
Your relationship and everything. Do what he's called you to do. You don't have to put a spiritual emphasis on whatever your creativity or whatever your job or whatever it is you do.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be that. You know, it doesn't have to be carpenters for Christ or, or, you know, whatever. You know, it's like, no, you be spiritual. And so many of the things that a person could put on, or even signs, and forgive me, I mean, don't miss, you know, maybe in some cases, you know, God would direct you to do that. Maybe, who knows? Maybe in some places you could put a sign on your truck or your car that has a spiritual thing to your job, and who knows, maybe it'll touch, or maybe it'll draw the certain kind of people you're supposed to. You know, I'm not going into right or wrong or legalism.
Right.
But I'm saying so often, you know, advertising businesses with a spiritual thing or whatever, you know, is going to deflect people who could know you as a person otherwise, you know. Who would not be afraid of you as a person and who you are. And so it's just trying to put this spiritual spin on everything is not human. It's being who we are. You know, it's our unconditional love and acceptance of others. You know, it's walking in love. It's walking in the spirit. That's what reaches people. That's what glorifies God. It's our very humanity, receiving our very humanity in the fullness and walking in it that brings glory to God.
Yeah, because the whole thing is we are the message. It's not, you know, the message isn't us going around talking all the time. And that's the thing that's happened, is there's come this disconnect where people think it's the words it's you having to preach a message all the time is what will get them saved. And so that's why the advertising, all this stuff, or, you know, bring people to Christ is, you know, but you're the message, we're the message, you know? And so it's just, Christ is so integrated in us that we just don't even realize how much that if Christ is in you, you're the message.
Right.
And so you don't have to try to go be something you're not, or try to come up with something or be a certain way. You just be you where you're at on your journey, and you're the message.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it's just when we look at ourselves in a negative way, as the human part of us, you know, we're dissing what God has created, you know. And again, I just have to say, it was like the Gnostics, you know, that caused so much trouble in the early church. And so actually, what is it's a form of Gnosticism. I mean, they believed, you know, that the spirit came from God, you know, that had a divine origin and was good, but the body was inherently earthly and therefore evil. That's what the Gnostics believed, you know. So they were actually hostile to the physical world, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. And so actually it was like you were believed, you were trapped in a body, you know? And so, and so it was a negative thing. And so to them, they even believe that that a person attains salvation by learning secret knowledge. In fact, I'm going to read this here. A person attains salvation by learning secret knowledge of their spiritual essence, a divine spark of light or spirit. They then have the opportunity to escape from the prison of their bodies at death. Their soul can ascend to be reunited with the supreme God at the time of their death. So Gnostics divided humanity into three groups: the spiritual, who would be saved irrespective of their behavior while on earth; the soulless, who could be saved if they followed the Gnostic path; the carnal, who are hopelessly lost. So anyway,
Now where did you get that?
Let's see. You could look up Gnosticism online, and you could
I just wanted to find out what source.
So it's just, you know, I mean, that's what it is. It's modern day. It's a form of a light form, of course, but it's a form of Gnosticism. It's just, why? Because it's humanistic, which is different than being humanity,
right?
Humanistic thinking, you know, and naturally you come up with that. To be spiritual, it's got to be something better than this body, because we live on earth. God lives in heaven, you know? Wow. And so it's a natural human way of thinking. And the Gnostics, of course, developed a whole religion out of it.
Right. It's amazing how much of that, because I know that was the big issue why Paul wrote why John wrote the book of John, and, you know, he was combating that. And it's interesting how much of that is still alive and well today.
Exactly.
And that's why when you're reading that, I was just going, wow, I have seen that all over the place. Mm-hmm. The whole mentality of waiting for the rapture to just get me out of here.
Oh yeah.
You know, I'm not going to live. I'm not going to embrace today. I'm not going to bother to try and really just live life on earth and even contemplate the thought that what if there's a generation or more generations to come after me? Oh no. Yeah. I'm getting out of here.
Really? And it's amazing how strong that is. And I know that there's many Christians that understand the importance, Christians in the institution or anywhere else, that understand the importance of how they live in life. But the big emphasis on personal salvation, on getting saved and then going to heaven when you die, you know, is so strong that it still minimizes what we do in between. You know,
right?
And instead of looking, you know, I mean, even so, you know, Jesus came to save the world. You know,
right?
And he lived to save the world, and his resurrection. The whole point of his resurrection is so that we would live in resurrection life. It would be the way that we lived on this earth, in our humanity, living in resurrection. You know, and so. When the emphasis is on getting saved, you know, and then going to heaven when we die, it really, really puts a damper on the whole thing in between, which is why we came to know Christ in the first place.
Wow. Now, that's so true. And man, there's a lot there. Because yeah. I mean, I'm gonna be thinking about this over the next week. Because yeah. I mean, really, that's the whole thing. Is it's like, you know, the Christianity that is so common and familiar is it's an escapist mentality.
Absolutely.
That it's okay, you know, and it's a actually hate yourself mentality. It's okay, mm-hmm. You get saved. Get me out of here as soon as I can. I'm just filling a blank space while I'm here. Hopefully I'll live old so I won't die young. But I'm just filling this blank space and I'm just supposed to be a good person. And then I go to heaven.
Yeah.
And then in the same time, you're supposed to hate yourself because it's like, you know, your humanity. Oh, I like football. Football may interfere with church. Kill that. You know, I really like nature. I'd love to be out, you know. I'd love to be out on a nature hike. A Sunday morning's the great... No! You know, you got to be at church.
You know, you know what I really like to do is get together with the guys and have a barbecue and, you know, watch a sporting event. No.
Have a beer.
You know, exactly. Have a beer or, you know, cook up some good hot dogs or something, you know. And it's like, no, that's evil. You know, you need to be in a worship service. And that's why one of the sayings that drives me crazy is I hear people say it a lot of worship services. You know, people shout with all their might at a football game, but how come at church when it's for God, you don't shout with the same passion? Well, maybe it's because at church I'm being weird and not being who I really am. And maybe at the football game I'm allowed to be human.
Right, right. Absolutely. It's amazing. And when you are human and you're enjoying what you like to enjoy and so forth, and yet you're in love with God, I mean, he ministers to you through you see him in everything, you know? I can be reading a novel and something will come up in that and it will make, and tears will come to my eyes and I just have to put it down and just say, thank you, Jesus, you know?
Right.
Because the love of God is poured out, you know?
Yeah.
It'll cause compassion, it'll trigger something in you or whatever, you know? And some of the moments that people that divide the spiritual and the human would call most spiritual will be when I'm not being exposed to anything spiritual at all.
You know? Right.
And yet all of a sudden my eyes are open to see Jesus in it. And I'll
exactly.
just, it'll just melt me. It'll just melt my heart.
It's so yeah. true. I mean, I think of, I'm sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's all. Go ahead.
Oh, it's so true because I've seen that with movies, with music,
yep.
and then I'll go to sporting events and leave with major spiritual analogies of what I witnessed in the game, where I'll think, was this scripted, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's so amazing how it's true. If your eyes are open, you see him and you hear him all around you. And it's because
absolutely.
He delights in our humanity and he wants to engage us in that.
Absolutely.
And it goes back to the conversation we had a couple weeks ago where we were talking about that family that had that child. And you think of how as a parent, you just delight in your child. Mm-hmm. And you enjoy watching like your daughter pick flowers, you know,
yeah.
or discover
yeah.
ladybugs. And mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. how much of that is our Father in heaven?
Oh, man.
It's all in him. It's all good.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
And he says, it tells us to become as little children. And think of it. A little child doesn't know anything about spirituality.
Right.
You know, they don't know a thing about that. They just are who they are at any moment, laughing one moment, crying the next. And I mean, I just look at my little grandson and I can't even stand it. If there's anything that just shows God's heart more than anything else, it seems sometimes, is a little child, like a little 2-year-old that is so unaffected by the other things and no embarrassment. They're just who they are, and they don't know anything else. And they do the most precious things, you know, and their little love and everything is just so incredible. And I think that's how we are to Father, you know? That's
exactly.
how we are to Father God. And it's just unbelievable, some of the little things he does, you know? And it's just, I just go, your heart just gets so full of gratitude. And because you know what? You see the tender, tender heart of Father.
But you know? But David, then you stop in that moment, don't you? And you go, wait a minute, you're taking my glory.
Oh, man.
Because that's exactly what happens is you look at how your glory is him.
Yeah.
Is your grandson. He's your glory.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we do. Oh, don't, you know, God's up there in heaven, you know, don't steal my glory. And yet when you're being who you are, he is glorified.
Absolutely.
And I was also thinking of how the whole thing of, you know, being who we are, it's not just the thing of doing it for pay, you know, doing it for making money or whatever. Using those gifts, it's just like your grandson, how you delight. He's not sitting there going, I need to get this on a world stage.
You know, my grandfather is truly appreciative of when I'm exploring the backyard. Yeah. So I need to go find a world stage for this, or Christianize this, or make money doing this. And it's like, I remember Wayne writing this whole article about how, Wayne Jacobson, about how some of the most beautiful flowers bloom in places where nobody but God will ever see them. And so the whole thing of using your gift, using your talent, doesn't mean it needs to be out on a world stage or it needs to be for a paycheck.
Yeah.
It's just when you're being you, whether it be you're out there collecting bugs or you're, you know, or you're playing your guitar sitting alone in your backyard, you know, that glorifies Him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. It's good.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Well, everybody, thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.